Did any of you hear that conversation that I had with Charlie and Linda Bloom on Valentine's Day? You know, one of the things that they talked about was how we can really work to make the relationship better, whether it's good already or whether it's not good. They talked about how we can make it good. They talked about how we can make it great. But Linda briefly pointed out that sometimes the relationships just aren't going to last. And that's one of the things that this song is about. Will it last forever? Well, back to this issue of where Hispanic Americans, Latinos are letting us know they are. Where Latinos are with regards to what they think and feel about being Latino in America under the Trump administration. Now that Donald Trump is in the White House and pushing his policies. And of course, we have to remember, we have a couple of sets of things going on at any given time within the workings of Washington, D.C. You have the policy proposals that are being bills that are being sent to the president by our congressmen and women. And you have the president who has his agenda. So you have both of those going on at the same time. And so we're focusing on the policies of the Trump administration. But remember, we have quite a bit going on that needs to be considered. Beyond economic considerations, 54% of Hispanics say that it has become more difficult in recent years to be Hispanic in the U.S. And remember, when we were talking about Muslim Americans and what they were thinking, what they were feeling, they too, looking at the climate and the way it was changing, said it was becoming harder to be Muslim American in America. 54% of Hispanics say it's more difficult now. For foreign-born Hispanics, 64% say that. Of U.S.-born Hispanics, 44% say the same. Nearly 4 in 10 Hispanics say that they've experienced at least one of four offensive incidents in the past year because of their Hispanic background. Although about as many note that someone has expressed support for them because they are Hispanic. I take my hat off to those of you who care enough about your fellow man, your fellow woman, that you let them know they matter. I appreciate you for doing that for people regardless of ethnicity. And sometimes we need to make a special effort to get that message across to peoples of color who are also victims of the hatred, the malice. 38% of Hispanics who say they've experienced an incident mention at least one of these, experiencing discrimination or unfair treatment because of their Hispanic background. Being criticized for speaking Spanish in public. Being told to go back to their home country or being called offensive names. None of that's cool. And I can tell you, for my part, I think it's just part of the beauty of our diversity that we have not only different skin colors, but also that we have different languages, different dialects. I shared this quite some time ago. I want to mention this again. I remember reading a business magazine some years ago, maybe about 18, 20 years ago. I was reading a business magazine where they were talking about dialects. And in the article, they talked about a white lady, a white business lady, who was very, very, very skilled as an executive. She had great leadership skills, and so she just kept climbing the ladder, climbing the ladder. She was really, really talented, a smart lady, very efficient, just an outstanding leader. And so she kept getting promoted. Makes sense to me. Well, the CEO of the company mentioned how he had begun, after he had moved her into one of the highest positions in the company, which put her in a position where she was regularly communicating with top leaders of other companies. Her CEO started getting calls from executives from other companies with whom she had communicated. And they were complaining about the way she talked. And they were saying he really needed to urge her to take some classes, some courses that would help her get rid of her accent. She was from the hills of Tennessee. A white lady from the hills of Tennessee who had the dialect that is stereotypical of someone from the hills of Tennessee. Now, here's the thing. The impression I got is that they could understand her. They did not have a difficult time communicating with her. They just didn't like her dialect. They did not like her hillbilly accent. And so they were trying to urge her boss to mandate that she attend courses that would help her get rid of her hillbilly accent. In all honesty, I don't remember what he said his decision was. But I do remember this. I remember being upset that her fellow executives felt so strongly about her accent, not because they could not understand her, but because it was just different than the accent that they were expecting. It was different from what they wanted to hear from executives. They wanted her to change. In my mind and in my heart, that was not a change that was necessary. They could understand her. So why insist that she have her accent, that she lose her hillbilly accent? So what is a hillbilly accent? To me, that's part of what adds to America's diversity, the beauty of America's diversity. I understand. I realize not everybody is going to like every accent. I understand that. But do we ever get to the point where we begin to ask ourselves, wait a minute, hold up. Okay, this accent, this dialect is different. I'm not really used to hearing it. But if I take this to the point of saying that person needs to lose that accent, am I making a mountain out of a molehill? Need a little more loving in my heart. So how is I to love? Love that's gone through years and years can't find.